The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's have a special shout out to our super producer, Max the Wedge Williams.
Ooh, hello.
and you're Noel Brown.
Try on uwu for size. I know it's sort of
I like
got,
it.
Yeah,
I like that it's creative. You know, it's better than when people do like a what.
It's got a fun mouthfeel. I know it has some sort of creepy anime nerds incel tendencies, but I'm taking it back, y'all. I'm taking it back for the people, for the ridiculous historians out there.
And as one of my favorite musicians once said, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ben Bolin.
Hi, Ben. Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. I'm Noel. We got Max here on the ones and the twos. And I don't know, guys, what do you say we get wedgy with it?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Get wedgy with it. I'm going to order some crab cakes from Maryland. I'm sorry. I'm looking online at Maryland crab cakes.
You can probably get it in that Gold Belly situation. They'll just ship it to you in dry ice.
Yeah.
But where, I don't know exactly where we split this, but we were in the midst of discussing this hilarious and ridiculous conflict. And I guess we'll join it already in progress.
It turns out that Maryland is not the only state Pennsylvania is beefing with. There is a sliver of land in the northwest corner of Delaware, and this becomes a source of great discord between Delaware and Pennsylvania for well over 100 years, like 150 years they're beefed. And it's like smaller than Central Park, dude.
Dude, we see this. We do so much of this stuff. It's sometimes hard to put my finger exactly on it. But there have been multiple skirmishes and issues and disagreements between countries and states over less.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's such petty ridiculousness, frankly.
Like beer to will, right? Out there on the African continent, the part of the little piece of land that nobody wants for strange reasons.
Oh, that's funny, Ben, because that actually does pertain to our Terra Nullius episode.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely some stuff about land nobody wants. And in getting to that in the conversation, we do talk a little bit about some bizarre border disputes.
Yeah. And also, just for a sense of scale, this is a cool fact that Max found, just for a sense of scale, yes, this part of the land that they're fighting over, it is smaller than Central Park, but it's larger than the entire country of Monaco. Therefore, Monaco is smaller than Central Park.
Wow, that's interesting. And so, I mean, you know, and as parks go, Central Park's pretty big.
It is pretty big. And so if we go back to to our special real estate agent we mentioned earlier, Thomas Cressup, we'll see that the conclusion of what people called Cressup's war resulted in the drawing of the Mason-Dixon line by the colonial aristocrats. But it leads to further problems because Mason and Dixon, despite being super famous in American history, are also not super great at surveying things, even though that is their job. They're not the luminaries of drawing lines.
It's a certain set of skills. But as it was, as it lay, you know, based on the I'm sure, due diligence that Mason and Dixon did for their line, it is a north-to-south line in the Delmarva Peninsula intended to establish the border between Delaware and Maryland and something called the Arc Circle, with a radius of 12 miles as measured from the courthouse in Newcastle, Delaware. And this was to give them sort of a frame of reference for where to start measuring. At this point, the Arc Circle wasn't really meant to be a boundary. It was more like a reference point, right?
Yeah.
A place to set up some markers and a benchmark to assist with the surveying. But as we're going to get to, but not the best frame of reference.
Yeah, and to, like, you know, go back to, like, earlier, like, this whole, the 12-mile radius circle, that came from that, like, nonsense, like, bit from Pennsylvania's charter earlier on. So it's, like, if that was always so flawed that if this is being used, it's like using bad rounded numbers to do math.
Exactly, yeah. And you see a domino effect. You see a cumulative effect of errors, right? You know, it's like building a wall. If you start with a bad foundation, the wall's just going to get worse the further up you go. And so Delaware is sucked into this because at the time, in this period of the 1700s, it's still part of the William Penn land grant. Penn's first landing at his what would become his new colony took place at Newcastle, which is still Delaware today. And Delaware was... it had its own legislative body. It was semi-autonomous in the day-to-day municipal activities, but it was still considered part of Pennsylvania. And so with that in mind, the three counties of Delaware today were the lower three counties of Pennsylvania. And so Mason and Dixon reacted to that. And that's part of where they started getting things even more wrong, especially like you were talking about that line at the Delmarva Peninsula.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think there was any outright incompetence or certainly no malice here. It's just, there's a lot of variables and things that can go wrong and that can compound, right? When you're measuring this kind of stuff, like over long enough distances. So here, you're right, is where they used a previously drawn line on that Delmarva Peninsula, which another surveying team had marked as the midpoint of the peninsula. The line was supposed to split the Delmarva Peninsula as evenly as humanly possible. And again, we know, guys, when you're talking about splitting up land, it's not like magical, perfectly configured puzzle pieces that just lock in together. There's a lot of, you know, kind of improvisation that has to go into figuring out the best way to do this stuff, because they are not clean lines of demarcation. This is like wilderness, you know? If you look at the map, we're used to seeing this is the shape of a state, and we've committed that to our minds. But to get to that shape took a lot of interesting cocktail math.
Yeah, and there's a reason, you know, I studied this in the past and in previous life. There's a reason that most original borders are geographically based. They're based on things like mountains. They're based on things like deserts. A river is great, or a big enough lake. And that's because it's a natural line of demarcation. So when you're, like you're saying, when they're having to split this in a man-made reckoning, then it's very easy to get things wrong.
Well, when mofos are beefing about like, no, it's got to be, this is mine. I've made a claim to this. Okay, well, now we have to take that into account. And that, and again, all with the best of intentions to make both sides happy. No, neither side ends up happy, right?
But what I'm saying is, even like the issue is that the earth is big and people are very small.
Also true. It's a matter of scale. Yeah, you're right.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know.
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com. So this line that they work on, they go into this knowing it's going to be one of the most difficult parts of their journey because they have to cross several rivers on the peninsula. They have to literally wade through marshland and try to keep things up to snuff. And the line that they were drawing meets up with the east-west line. You may want a map to play along at home, folks. But the circle we mentioned earlier doesn't meet up with everything until you get a few miles further south. This forms a triangle of land that becomes known as the Wedge.
Ah, yes, the titular Wedge of the podcast that we're doing right now. Initially, not a huge problem when Maryland and Pennsylvania agreed to those initial survey results in 1767, but a mere decade later in 1776, or a decade and change, as the American Revolution becomes a much more ideologically driven war for independence, right? Delaware, in keeping with the thinking of the time, the zeitgeist, you know, broke away from the crown and the Penn proprietorship in order to establish themselves as the 13th colony.
Yeah, yeah, because Penn is like a fan of the crown, right? He's associated with this. So if they want to be part of the American experiment, then they also can't be part of Pennsylvania. So the circle arc becomes Delaware's northern boundary. And the big question begins, who actually owns this wedge? And then the question you might have now, which we certainly had, is why would you argue about such a comparatively small piece of land? According to authors like Stephen Marks, the bottom line is a matter of following the money. The taxation said that it's a square mile, but there's money involved and every penny counts. So people want ownership because, you know, the colonies are often hard pressed to finance their rebellion against the king. So this becomes kind of a, I don't want to say quite a holy grail, but it becomes something that everybody is chasing.
It represents something. Right. It's less about the function of the land and more about the principle, you know, of the thing. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's about the money that you can make off of it. And now at this point, we have to take a moment and make space, as they say, for the innocent bystanders, the, you know, the farmers just living on the wedge. And they're like, who is in charge here? You're telling me to pay taxes, but are you the person I'm supposed to be paying taxes to? Are you part of Maryland? Are you part of Pennsylvania? What is going on?
Yeah. And David Tristan of ABC 27 wrote in a piece called Who Wants the Wedge? For nearly 70 years, Pennsylvania and Delaware argued over who owned the wedge, a sliver of land created when two lines from the Mason-Dixon survey didn't quite intersect. Again, this is like a mathematical error. For the most part, administration of the wedge fell to Delaware simply because it was more practical. But by the 1840s, some of the original marker stones set in the area by Mason and Dixon had strangely gone missing. In 1849, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland decided it was time to resurvey the area. Enter Lieutenant Colonel James D. Graham of the U.S. Corps of Topographical Engineers, which was a U.S. Corps I was not aware of.
Bum, 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 bum. So
before we get into this, can we just talk about this?
Yeah.
Why is it Corps?
Yeah, yeah. It's a strange story, and I think it's a future episode, so let's note that. It's funny that you are mentioning, or it's funny that we're going to talk about pronunciation, because colonel is pronounced like a popcorn kernel, but it's spelled in a very...
Colonel.
Yeah.
Colonel.
Yeah. And growing up with a lot of colonels and military members in my family, they don't think it's funny to ask about that. Anyway, it also reminds me, we had an earlier conversation about the city of Worcester in Massachusetts. And Max, you will like this fact in particular. A good thing about that town, they just decided that for their library system, they're replacing late fees or lost book fees or damage fees.
You'll never guess with what. You'll never guess, Max.
Instead of paying them with cash, you pay them with, can you guess? This is a real thing.
It kind of sounds like cat. It's got a cat sound.
Ass.
No, a cat's out.
We're a family show. We're tell you the truth. Well played. I say give him the point. No,
it's feet pics. No,
it could be feet pics, kind of, as long as it's a picture of a cat. You can pay your library fees in something they're calling March Meowness.
Wait, so it's only for March?
I hope it continues. Okay. I think it's gonna stick around.
I co-sign on all this.
Anyway, we thought that would make you.
I have so many cat photos that this is perfect for me.
Like physical ones?
Oh, I could print them out. I had a painting at one point that someone bought that had a white cat in it. People just give me stuff with white cats in it. When you have a very loud and very distinct white cat, people decide that that's like all they get you in your life is like white cat things. I just have so many white cat things.
Nobody gets me Nibelung.
swag, which is fine. That's the type of cats I have.
Nibelung?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's from Wagner.
Yeah.
The Ring of the Nibelungen. Like, that's the name of the that's, I had no idea that was a Capri.
So back to the story. We just had a we had a pretty cool conversation about cats that's not going to make it to air.
It's just for us.
It's just for us. It's for the outtakes. But back to the story. There is this colonel, and this lieutenant colonel, James Graham, he is tasked with finally sorting order from the chaos. And he has to figure out exactly where this arc line meets this north line. And then he said, okay, I'll do the math. I'll look at this. You know, it is my job. And in 1850, he gives them the final draft of his report. And he says, the true meeting point of these three states has the infamous wedge as part of Philadelphia. People don't like this, especially people in Delaware. They see this and they say, ah, oh, nah, hell nah. You done up and done it. The Delawareans are not, shout out to Nappy Roots. The Delawareans, which is the term, they are not happy. Nothing seems to get solved. The things go back to this unquiet status quo. And the poor residents of the Wedge, yet again, walk around, look at each other and say, beep me here, Max. Who the fuck is in charge here?
Beep.
Hey, no, you're supposed to be on the word, not after it. Oh, I know you did good. Right. Who is in charge indeed? This, you know, like a lot of parts of the country at this time, had largely been considered sort of an unoccupied no man's land. According to Stephen Mars, the director and archivist at the Delaware Public Archive, he goes on to say that there weren't that many people living there, and these people were quite independent. He also notes that the Wedge wasn't a particularly important political piece for either state, and then goes on to say that when you're trying to govern more populated areas, how much attention are you going to pay to that? The answer being not very much. So in 1889, Pennsylvania and Delaware decide to have another crack at it, settling their dispute.
This is the time. This is the time it'll work.
We got it this time. So they set up sort of a summit of sorts to determine the boundary, and ordered yet another survey under the direction of W.C. Hodgkins. Sounds like a real proper surveying chap. Mm. Of the Office of the U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey? Geodetic? How about that? We're learning about all kinds of new niche little agencies that largely probably don't exist anymore. And his survey was conducted from the east-west border line of that arc line by extending it just a touch over 3/4 of a mile. And really micro. Didn't I tell you guys that I think I'm not going to make a fuss about it, but I'm technically in a border dispute with my neighbor right now?
Yes, yeah.
He just came a-knocking and said, hey, awkward, but just FYI, I hired a surveyor and apparently your fence is about 3 feet onto my property, you know, and this property hadn't been occupied since I bought my house, and this guy just bought this lot, and now so I'm like, do I hire a counter surveyor to confirm his findings? It's really no skin off my back, but it just goes to show that it's all about the attitude that you take. That 3 feet to somebody else might be an act of war. It's like, those are no, hell no. Those are my 3 feet.
People die for very small amounts.
It's wild, isn't it? And I can care less, but now that I'm doing all this, I'm like, should I care more? It's my land, man.
So, yeah, and this is, but the, you know, credit to Pennsylvania and Delaware and Maryland. They are all trying to determine this dispute through non-warlike means. You know, there's just a lot of negotiation, and I hope that you don't get involved in a hot war over the fence. But as a result of this 1889 initiative, eventually the Pennsylvania Assembly approves the results of the latest survey, and Delaware says, hang on a tick, because one of the surveyors looking at the older work, said, whoops, the original measurement for that arc circle we mentioned earlier is off by 2,000 feet. We corrected the error, and so now we've made a new weird shape that is controversial. It's a stretch of land called the Horn.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I spent an hour trying to find a photo of the Horn or more descriptions of the Horn. There's nothing
about
it.
It's not a thing. And they say, the Horn goes to Pennsylvania. You are all made whole.
Yes. Wedge goes to Delaware.
And Pennsylvania, you get the Horn. That is fair. It is right and just. The problem is that the Horn is part of Delaware, and the people who are living in the Horn are like, we're Delawareans, not Pennsylvanians. And so the people, there are also people in the Wedge who consider themselves Pennsylvanians, despite the Wedge going to Delaware. And this, we see stuff like this in the modern day in the Balkans, in Eastern Europe, like anywhere there's an enclave of people. You know, there are a lot of folks who say, yes, I live in, you know, Moldova or something, but I am Russian, you know, and I identify with Russia. That's what I consider my government. So anyway, Delaware politicians say, all right, we're going to wait for everybody to calm down, get a level head, and then we're going to move forward with the survey. And they waited 24 years.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
So it feels like they were waiting for the angriest people in the crowd to die.
To chill. Well, I was about to say to chill, most literally, as in to go cold. That's oftentimes that's the name of the game, right? Is waiting out the assholes.
Yeah. And so it came to pass that after 24 years, Delaware ratifies the survey. The United States Congress, over the moon to get this done with, co-signs it. They give it the stamp of approval. The two states set up an official marker to show where the east-west line meets the circle arc. And in 1921, the issue of the wedge and the horn is finally settled about 154 years after it first became a problem. That is one of history's weirdest, most, dare I say, ridiculous arguments over 684 acres of land, all which prompts our pal Max to ask, should we have just done a golf episode?
You know, with all of the golf talk at the top,
we kind of did it.
We did already.
Well, we kind of like we got golfish with it.
No, no, but the history of golf is weird.
The history of golf is fascinating.
It's a bizarre game, and a game that requires so much land and resources, right? And means.
I mean, it's basically curling.
Okay, Max. I think you're coming from a position of bias there, perhaps.
I am, but they are both believed to be Scottish inventions that have been around for a very long time.
Well, if you think about the mechanics of golf, right, and the history of it, then it's clearly based on sumo wrestling.
But back in the
think
days,
think about it.
This is a true story. When you putted, people actually did sweep the green.
Yeah. I know. I got you. We should do a golf episode because there's so much socioeconomic history tied up in it.
Exactly.
There's so much skill required too. It's not a lazy game. And I think sometimes people misread it as such. We wanted to end our episode here with a couple of tangents and trivia, weird facts about Delaware. We didn't even mention its largest city is Wilmington, but here's something I thought we'd all find interesting. The state symbol of Delaware is a blue hen.
Huh. You know, that really does kind of make me a little less skeptical of the idea of Ben Franklin wanting the turkey. United States bird to be the turkey. A blue hen, huh?
Interesting. Yeah, because during the Revolutionary War, U.S. soldiers would carry around blue hen cocks for, like, entertainment. And we don't know exactly the nature of that entertainment. Did they, I have a picture of all of us, you listening along at home too, folks. I have a picture of all of us hanging out during the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. And people forget sometimes that war can be very boring.
Oh yeah.
So it becomes horrific.
A lot of hurry up and wait. It's exactly. Like working for the movies.
So I have this picture of us sitting around a campfire. We've already discussed any topic of interest that we could have over the past few months. And then one of us is like, I'm bored. And then someone else says, you want to get the hen? And then we like say, yeah, we'll get the hen. And then we just put the hen out and we watch it walk around. And we're like, look at that guy.
Look at that guy.
Like, that sounds pretty accurate, doesn't it?
It does.
It sounds pretty fun.
So, yeah, and we may have a weird, nerdy idea of fun here, folks. I didn't know Wilmington, Delaware, was home to Bob Marley.
Oh, geez, what? That doesn't seem right.
He wasn't born there.
Okay.
He moved there in 65 1969.
That's even weirder. I know he wasn't born in the United States, but I'm saying, why would Bob Marley want to hang out? Again, no shade on Delaware, but it seems like the least Bob Marley place. Maybe it was different in the 60s. I don't know.
I actually got a follow up on this.
Yeah.
Delaware.
According to Only in Your State, their page in Delaware, not only did Bob Marley live there, but he worked for the DuPonts.
Yes, he did. As a lab assistant.
So wait, this is not in the heyday of his career, right?
Yeah, he was living with his mother for 12 years. So got he it. Was still growing. He was still growing up. He was a younger guy, and I think he was also working for Chrysler at some point. He was a forklift driver. He had regular dude jobs.
That is very interesting. I had no idea.
It's a weird one, huh?
Yeah, and I found an interesting one. It kind of relates back to, remember our episode about Blue Laws? About, like, you know, how some of them stuck around for a while. This is according to Delaware Online. In 1911, Upton Sinclair, you know, very famous author, was arrested for playing baseball and selling ice cream on Sunday.
Oh, dear. The heretic.
Monster.
Him and 10 other people. We should point out there was also 10 other people who got arrested.
Good. Good. You know, like Sci-Hi the Prince said, no dope on Sundays. That's about Blue Laws.
Exactly. Well, you know, we do have a fun little aside to kind of take us out with, because we've been talking a lot about this snipey kind of back and forth bad neighbor vibes.
And we're on the way to April.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So there was, I guess you could call it, not really an incident. It was just sort of a fun thing. On April 1st of 2021, the Newcastle County officials, the bigwigs, decided to give the wedge back to Pennsylvania. Psych!
You thought.
April 1st, indeed. Josh Shannon, writing for the Newark Post, had this to say about it. Newcastle County government had some fun on social media for April Fool's Day, tweeting that it is giving the wedge, a triangle-shaped area near Newark with a colorful history. You can say that again.
Yeah.
Back to Pennsylvania.
And they said...
I like this right here.
They said, per the terms of our 100-year rental agreement with Pennsylvania, we're returning the wedge to our neighbors to the north today. Best of luck to all the firmer first countians living there. And then they came for the Chester County government. So they were, it's a joke about how confusing it was to live in the wedge for 150 years. It is a pretty good joke. But as you said, Noel, it was all in good fun. The wedge is still part of Delaware today.
Yeah, I don't think it stings so much anymore. I think this would have been taken as intended with a little bit of a wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge. You know?
Yeah, you know, these, and a lot of these folks know each other. So they're like texting like, oh, ha ha, nice one, Todd, whatever.
Did you know that there are more people per square mile named Todd in Delaware than in any other place in the universe?
I did not, but it sounds true.
It's completely true. Don't fact check it. This was fun.
This is
way more fun than it seemed to have any business being, frankly.
It was a blast. We hope you join us in the future, folks. We've got some great episodes coming up. Thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams, and his brother, Alex Williams, who composed the bangin' bop you're hearing right now.
Huge thanks to Christopher Hasiotis here in spirit. You know, I realized Christopher Hasiotis is kind of, we continue to thank him and refer to him being here in spirit, because he was really our first ever research associate and kind of set the tone for like the way we do our setups, with the way we do our documents with all the tangents and trivia and things. So if anyone's ever wondering about who this mystical being is, that's who he is.
The Gabe Lussier. Yeah. And of course, shout out, you know who we need to shout out more often, guys? Casey Pegram.
Oh, yes, of course.
Casey on the case.
We, you know, he recently had a, not recently, gosh, time is weird.
It feels like recently, had a child. No, it was a while ago, but yeah, he's a dad now.
He's a dad now,
that
but.
Was 3 years ago.
Okay, yeah. Stop.
Had me for 3 years.
All right, fine.
I borderline don't care for that. But we have been threatening to have him on the show to do some francophone content. And I think now is the time to reach out and bug him.
I've got one for him.
Good.
I'm working on one, I think. Will be great. So shout out to Casey, shout out to Jonathan Strickland, aka the Quizster. The beef is still a thing, and we're hoping that he'll return soon.
Fresh beef.
Fresh with some fresh beef. And we'll call old baby J Fresh Beef Strickland.
Exactly. How about we'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size-inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.